preaching on Psalm 78 this morning. And I did that just recently, and my son called me, and we were talking, and he said, "Ed, what are you preaching on Sunday?" And I said, "Psalm 78. He said, "Oh, yes, not until I went into the sanctuary that I understood." And you know what? That's been a great, great quote of his for 30-some years. Not until I went into the sanctuary that I understood what was going on. And what's the best place to go at today in order to understand what's going on around us? It's the Bible, isn't it? We go there, and then we end up in prayer, speaking to the one who is the head of the sanctuary in heaven. So we've got so much to be thankful for.
But this morning, I'm going to do Psalm 46. I'd like us to look at that. And I want us to think about this great, great psalm. It has been such a blessing to me. And you know what? There's some themes in here that keeps repeating itself. It's the word "our refuge." It's the word "selah," or meditate. Stop and think on this. And then "the Lord of hosts is with us." And it's found two times in this great psalm. And you know what? I think it's so great that we were able to sing two of the songs that have been written as a result of this psalm. And there's also a couple of more. "A mighty fortress is our God." Of course, we sang "Be Still," and "Know, Be Still My Soul," and "Like a River Glorious." And it's been written from this particular psalm. The people who were inspired to write these songs, they were reading this psalm and meditating on it when they came up with these great songs. And you know what? I think it's a great topic, and it's something we all need to think about in our life, because as you get older, if you become one of these owls that was made mention of just a few moments ago, older, wiser, and later. But I find myself getting later as I get older. And it's amazing how this fits together. But, you know, it's amazing when you think about this and all of the different struggles that you can have in life. And we need what it says here in verse 1. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear." And then he gives a list of things here that could happen that could bring extreme fear in our lives. But you know what? I've discovered in life that, you know, I'll be 78 my birthday, and I'm only just a short distance behind you, brother. But, you know, it's amazing when you think about and you look back. I'm able to look back 78 years almost. And the things that I've seen in life so many times, and how the Lord has taught me the lesson that we've got in this right here. You know, when I was young, I had lots of pep, and I could get around, didn't need no help. You know, now I'm getting old, turning gray, people look at me, "What did he say?" But you know, when we get older, we are able to look back, and we are able to see how God led us through these difficult times in life. And you know what? I've seen a problem with, you know, health problems. We've all seen that. We've seen financial problems. Many of you had your 401k turn into a 104k. And you know, it's things about the future. I know Karen and I just went down to Pittsburgh Christian Village, was it 2 weeks ago, and did a visit down there to look at a home, maybe to live there. And Wayne wants us to move to Memphis and live with him so we can help take care of the grandkids. But what he doesn't know is we'll go there and take care of him for a year or two, and then he'll be taking care of us. But that's great, isn't it? No greater joy than some of the things that we experience in life. And when we look at them in the right perspective, all of a sudden we see a blessing, don't we? How many times and how many blessings could you come up with as a result of the things that we look at in this psalm? If you don't mind, let's just read it, and we'll look and make comments on these different things about what God is to us. Verse 1 again, I'm going to repeat it again. And this psalm was written if you look at your Bible, most of them has got it. It's to the chief magician of the sons of Korah. And it was related to a young girl's choir, from what I understand. But listen to what it says here. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Selah, meditate on it. What is this, these few verses here? It reminds us of what's going to happen during the tribulation, doesn't it? And it's amazing. We could look at it in more detail. But look at verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her just as the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Meditate on that. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah, think about that. And it's some good things to think about, isn't it? And you know, it's amazing here in this thing here. The Lord is our refuge. And we see that three times in this little passage. God is our refuge. And you know what? I don't know if any of you were outside during this storm you had just a couple of days ago. Did you stay outside to just watch the wind blow? No, you probably went inside to a refuge, didn't you? And that's what we want when we go through some of these storms of life. And you know, sometimes it's not a wind storm. We drove down here during the rain and going through Raleigh. It was terrible. But I'm sure it was a lot worse here than it was in Raleigh. But you know what? Each one of us have been through different storms in life, haven't we? And you know, it's amazing. I read a quote by a guy about this particular issue of looking for a place to get away to. Back in 1940, there was, you know, what was going on over in Europe. World War II was getting started over there real good, and Hitler was trying to take over. And, you know, he wanted to be the leader of the world. And so this man, he decided, you know, what I'd like to do is to get out of the United States. I'd like to go to a far remote island, and I'd like to get rid of all of these problems, and I'd like to move somewhere like that. And he chose to move to Hawaii. And he went to Pearl Harbor and started living there. And he thought, this is so great. You know, it's so peaceful here. I can hear all of the beautiful water coming in and all of these waves and such beautiful views But guess what happened a year after he moved there? Pearl Harbor was bombed. Torah, Torah, Torah. You know what? That's what we want to do in life, isn't it? When there's something really bad going on, you know, what do we want to do? We want to get away from it, don't we? We want to run as fast as we can to get away from it. And, you know, Psalm 55, I've got many verses here I want us to look at this morning, but point number one in these supporting verses in the first column, this is what David was going through. And it's amazing when you think about David and what he was thinking about. He was wanting to escape too. It says here in Psalm 55:4, "My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me." Verse 6, look what it says. "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, then I would fly away, and I would be at peace. Lo, then I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness." That's how that psalm starts. But guess how it ends? It ends in at the end of it, verse 22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." That's it, isn't it? That was the answer to David's problem, wasn't it? And when you look at David and what he had to go through in order to become king of Israel, that was amazing, wasn't it? And you think about the struggles that he had to go through, Saul, okay? Then when he becomes king, after a while, his son, Absalom. And, I mean, it's terrible the things that David went through. And you know what? He created some things in his own life that he had to suffer the consequences for, didn't he? But I think that's an illustration here. Oh, that I had wings like a dove. If I could just go somewhere else, everything would be calm and I would be able to live a perfect life. But is that what happens? Yeah, I can remember in 1965, when I left home, I was looking for those wings and I wanted to get away. I wanted to create my own life. I wanted to do these things. And I thought joining the Navy would solve all of these problems. But you know what? I didn't even make it through book camp. And I wanted to go back home. I wanted to go home and get a big hug from Mama. And what a blessing she was for me while I was gone. And all the cakes she sent me in the mail, fruit cakes, and what a blessing it was. And when those cakes would arrive, I was the most popular guy in our squadron because everybody else wanted a little bite of it. But running away doesn't solve the problems, does it? You know, I think there's an expression, you know, how can I get out of it? Or what can I get out of it? That's the two ways to look at it, isn't it? And so many times when we want to run, we want to get away from it. But when we stay there and go through it, we discover that God gives us wisdom so that we become a real owl. We give wisdom. And many times God gives us a ministry so that we can help other people who are going through the same problems that we went through. Now, isn't that amazing how this works? But it says here, God is our refuge. He's the one that we can run to, and he's the one that we can really cast all our care upon him because he cares for us. Now, I don't remember, I know many of you here is not old enough to remember back in the 60s, but I can remember when Russia was invading, what was the country? Cuba. And you know, they were talking about bombing the United States. And do you remember how fearful that was? And I can remember neighbors and people in the school that I went to and hear them talk about their parents digging a pit under their house or putting a basement under there, and they had all of these shelves with food to eat on for a month or two if a bomb occurred here. But aren't you thankful it didn't happen here? But I think that's one of the things that we're looking for, a shelter in the midst of the storm. And if you've ever been out in the midst of a storm before, that's what you're looking for, isn't it? Where can I get away from all of this rain that's coming down on me? I want to get away from it. But you know what? We have a refuge, and I think we're told in Scripture that we have an anchor for our soul. Now, isn't that precious? How many of you have boats here? Well, I only see one hand going up. But, you know, all your boats, you've got an anchor for it, don't you? And you want an anchor. You want when you come into port, or if you even want to stop somewhere outside of the docking place, you want that put that anchor down so that the waves doesn't just sweep you away. Right? Who do we have as an anchor for our souls? You know, it's amazing when we think about that. It says in Hebrews chapter 6, and I apologize, I forgot when I put this together and I didn't take time to put them in the correct order that I was going to present them to you. But look at what it says in point number 5, Hebrews 6:17. It says, thus God determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, wherefore the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, becoming high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. We've got an anchor that's really holding us in place, isn't it? And it's a perfect anchor. It's the anchor that died for our sins. And where is the Lord Jesus at here? He's a forerunner. He's behind the veil. And you know, isn't it amazing this morning at the worship meeting, we saw that, you know, it's through the blood of Christ that we have access to go in that veil. And isn't it amazing the veil in the temple? What happened when the Lord Jesus said, "It is finished"? The veil in the temple was broken in two, wasn't it? From the top, bottom to the top. And you know what? Now we can go in when we receive what Christ did for us on Calvary. We can enter in through that veil and go into God's presence. And we've got an anchor that'll hold us there. Doesn't get any better than that. I've got so much to be thankful for. And you know what? We can got one that's safe. It's steadfast, and it's secure. And you know what? We can go into that priest that we have there in Hebrews 4:14. We see there right below the verses you just looked at, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Where's the place we need to go to when we've got these problems? When we've got issues going on in life and we need a refuge for our soul? We can go to the real high priest. And it says that he was tempted in all points like we are, but he did it differently than we did. How many times have we been tempted and we committed sin? How many times was he tempted and he committed sin? Zero, right? He was tempted in every area of life, the world, the flesh, and the devil, but he overcome every one of them. And you know what? We see here in that passage there, there's mercy. And what is it we want? When do we want mercy? When we fail, right? Don't give me what I deserve. I deserve to be punished for what I did. And then we need grace, don't we? We want Him to give us something to get us through these trials that we go through in life. And then we can come boldly in His presence and obtain that. Boldly. And it's interesting, that word boldly there, it means to tell it all. You know, when we're going through some struggles in life, we usually have maybe one or maybe two friends that we know that, hey, I can go talk to them and they won't pass it on. They'll listen to what I've got to say and they will put their arm around me and tell me they love me and they're praying for me. And they'll ask me, how can they help me? We've got that in heaven, don't we? The Lord Jesus is ready to do that at all times. But listen to what it says here in verse 1 again. God is not only our refuge, but second point I think is so good is He's our strength, isn't He? He's our strength. You know what? The older I get, the more I can't bend over hardly. And when I do bend over and pick up a rock or something like that, or a big stick in the woods around the house, I end up with back trouble. Now I've got a second toe on my right foot that, you know, I've had to go to the hospital for that one, and it was swollen. And now just about every time I go out and do some really heavy work, I have problems. Now, you young people, enjoy it, because you got another 60 years to go before you start having these problems. But we've got somebody who is full of strength, and we don't have to worry about a thing as long as He's taking care of us. He is our strength. He is our strength. And, you know, many times I think we could look here in the center column, point number 3, Isaiah 40. And this great passage of Scripture tells us about the Israelites. They're coming to God in that great passage. And you need to read the whole passage. But listen to what it says there in Isaiah 40:27. And here's what's being said. Oh, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord. Lord, if you only knew what was going on in my life, if you only knew what I was putting up with, if you only knew. Does He know? He not only knows what's going on, but He even knows the thoughts of the person or the situation that was behind all of this that happened to you. And I love what it says here. And my judgments is passed over from my God. God, you should have been the judge to take care of this problem that happened to me, and you should have solved it immediately. But you hadn't done it. My way is hidden. You ever feel that way? And I think that's why many people want to run from God. They want those wings that they can fly away. And you know, isn't it amazing when you get up high, you can look down and see what's going on, can't you? So those wings are good, that you can go up above the storm and look down on it rather than being in the middle of it. But listen to what He says here. Here's the solution to the problem. Here in Isaiah it says in verse 28 there, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He's the only one. He's the only know-it-all, isn't it? And he knows every thought and every content in our brains, in our minds. You know, wouldn't it be great if we had we could do a brain scan and erase the files that we don't want up there? That'd be tremendous, wouldn't it? But it doesn't work that way, does it? What we need to do is not delete those files, but God wants us to replace those files. Instead of thinking about what went bad, start thinking about Him, who He is, and what He's done for you. And when we start memorizing those scriptures, just like memorizing the books of the Bible, we need to do that, don't we? I can remember when I started going to Shannon Hills in 1969, they would sing that Bible, books of the Bible, every Sunday morning just before the kids marched out to go to their Sunday school class. And I can remember thinking, Job, that's Job. That's Job, not Job. Why? That's how much I knew about the Bible. But you know what? God knows everything, doesn't He? And what He wants us to do is listen to what it says in verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That's what we want, isn't it? That renewed energy. And again, we want to be up above so we can see what's going on down. I can remember one time at Mountaintop, I was up there with a group of boys, and we were up there, and it was a beautiful, clouds came over, and lightning started striking. And I saw lightning strike, and you could hear it all the way up at the lodge. We were standing out looking down, and the lightning struck a barn, and it caught on fire. And within a few minutes, the fire department was there working on that barn, putting out the fire. But guess what happened to me when that happened? Just like that, I was surrounded by little boys. They wanted a refuge. They wanted to be around somebody that can tell them what to do, to help them. And that's what the owls need to be doing, right? I was a young owl at that time, in my 40s. But isn't that what we want? And again, we need to wait upon the Lord. That's a great promise, isn't it? And what we can receive when we do wait on Him. And you know, so many times we want to get even, don't we? But if we get even with somebody for what they did for us, what we're doing is we're becoming overcome by evil and not becoming an overcomer. But that's what we want to be, is an overcomer. But look here, I've got a passage here from Nehemiah in the first column here. And you know what? Nehemiah and when he went back there to help build the walls and to build the temple with Ezra, and all this stuff was going on. Listen to what it says here. It's in verse 8, chapter 8 of Ezra. It says, so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And then we'll just skip on down. When, as they finished reading this, it says, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, send portions to them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Oh, is that true? Can you imagine going in? I don't know how many of you have been to Israel and to see some of those walls that are there. It's incredible. I can't imagine having to go there and rebuild those walls. But they were all tore down in AD 70, weren't they? Because the people didn't enter into that rest the way they should have. But, you know, here we see this, what God is doing. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And I think one of the greatest things that we can get peace of mind and rest, the very thing that we want in life, it's from the Word of God, isn't it? And when we come and commit our lives to Christ, when we get saved, I can't, you know, I wish I had time to tell you about what a change in my life and the joy that I had in my heart when I knew that my sins had been forgiven and that I had become a child of God. It's amazing, isn't it? But, you know, it's the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that's what we all want, isn't it? Look at what people do today to get a big smile on their face. What is it they want to do on the weekend? Thank goodness it's Friday. We can go out tonight and have a drunk party so we can be happy. And the next morning, they can't remember anything. But it's crazy what's going on. But the real joy is the joy that's going to be in your heart that's going to give you peace. I wish we could look at many verses that deal with that. But you know what? I'm going to run out of time here real quick. I just want to look at one quick and read a couple of verses here in 2 Chronicles 32:4. And King Hezekiah, you remember there when that took place, Assyria, the king of Assyria was going to come in and kill them all and take over because they didn't pay the taxes and so forth. And Hezekiah gave him all the gold and silver from the temple, but that was not enough. And so they came, and you know, you remember what happened was, I think it's illustrated here in verse 7 of 2 Chronicles 32, point number 4 in the outline. Here's what King Hezekiah said to the people. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with him, for there are more with us than with him. With him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord, our God, to help us and to fight our battles. And the people were strengthened by the word of Hezekiah, king of Judea. And you remember what happened that night? They were surrounded. And what happened? An angel of the Lord came, and what did he do? The next morning when they looked out, they saw 185,000 of these soldiers dead. Isn't it amazing when you think about that right there? And we'll just skip that and go on down. But, you know, I want us to think about this right here. And we could look at that particular issue there and how that the encouragement was to be strong and courageous because the king of Assyria is nothing compared to the Lord. The Lord can just speak and that sword, and during the book of Revelation, what's going to happen? That sword that comes out of his mouth is his word, right? If he can raise somebody from the dead, if he can heal somebody, can he also destroy them? He can do it, can he? And what a day. Nobody wants to be there for that particular thing. And you remember Elisha? And they went out and they were surrounded one night by the enemies. And you remember he prayed and asked, he said, don't fear them. The Lord is with us. Don't fear them. And he prayed, open his eyes that he can see this servant. And the Lord opened his eyes, and what happened when he looked around them? God opened his eyes, but what did he do to the enemy's eyes? He closed theirs. and they were blind, and they were able to lead them off back into town. And what did they do when they got them in the town? They didn't punish them. They fed them. They had a feast. And God opened their eyes and they saw it, and there was no more war going on. There's so much. But you know what? I want us to think about this right here as we close. And it's mentioned here in this passage right here, God is with us. And I want us to think about that. He's not only with us, He's for us, isn't He? Look over in the last column, and I've got some illustrations here that God is for us. Look at what it says there at point number 6 in column 3, and it says in Romans 8:31, what shall we say then? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's what the Father's doing for us, right? And listen to 8:34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who gives our prayers to the Father inside the veil? It's the Lord Jesus, isn't it? Listen to what the Spirit does. It says in Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows the mind, what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Who's praying for us? Who's helping us? The Holy Spirit, the Son, and the Father is receiving those prayers. And who's the only one that can change the situations, the circumstances, all the things that we have in life and the lessons that we need to learn? You know, I think the lessons that we learn is more important than getting freed from the situation. Look at David. If David had not gone through what he went through, where would we be at with the Psalms? Just read all the Psalms that David wrote. It's incredible. And the lessons that he learned while he was running from Saul. And you know, he ran every day just about and had to go from cave to cave, and he ended up in Moab one time for a while, didn't he? But who was with him all of the way, leading him away from Saul? It was the Lord, wasn't it? But you know what? We need to rest. Verse 10, listen to what it says in Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Think about that. Be still. Now, isn't it amazing the number of times we see that illustrated in the Old Testament? When they came to the Red Sea, what was it that God told Moses to do? Raise that rod up. Be still. It says in the last column, I've got three illustrations of being still. Moses said to the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Can you imagine what it was like for those Israelites walking through the Red Sea on the ground? And then when they got to the other side, what did the sea do? It collapsed on Pharaoh and his soldiers and killed every one of them. That was worth being still for, right? Be still in your mind. Okay? Stand still when Moses opens his sea. And then walk through, and on the other side, be still. Physically. But what we need is mentally, we need to be still. But look at another one. You remember the story of Ruth. And here was a young girl that came back with Naomi to Bethlehem, and she was just, you know, her husband had died. And it was amazing, the story there. But when she comes back to Ruth, and, you know, she discovers that Boaz is a relative of her husband. And listen to what Naomi tells her to do, because you can go back and look at this. The next day, she knew that Boaz was going to redeem her. And he tells her, Ruth 3:18, then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest till he hath finished the thing this day." And Boaz finished that work the next day, didn't he? Okay? And when he bought the property and everything that belonged to her old husband, he also ended up with her for a wife, didn't he? And it's great to look at the genealogies through that. And she was still, she let go of it and let God take care of the problem. But look at the last one here. An example of not being still. Listen to what it says in Exodus 31, 6. "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid. Nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth good with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath shown unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. He will not fail thee." That word "fail" there, it means rapha. He'll never be still. He never sleeps or slumbers, does he? He's always awake, and he knows exactly what's going on everywhere, and he's just as good of control of things today as he was back 3,000 years ago or more. We've got a lot to be thankful for, don't we? And you know what? I think that we can look at those songs that we sang, two of them this morning, and go and look up these songs. Three of them are in your hymn book, that red hymn book. And what a blessing they are. "Stayed upon Jehovah, stayed upon Christ Jesus, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Be still and know that he is God. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing." And you look at all the things in this great psalm here, in this middle portion here, that we didn't have time to look at. You can see the mountains, the waters, the river. And there is a river flowing from God, isn't it? From heaven. And we could look at Revelation 22 and we could read about that river. But we've got so much to be thankful for. Let's rest when we leave, right? Now, some of us might take a nap. And we call that rest. And that is good rest, right? These old bodies need rest. But where do we need rest at most of the time? Between our ears. And God is the only one that can give us that rest. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and you'll find" what? "Rest for your soul." Let's thank him and praise him right now for all that he's done for us. Our Father, we just thank you this morning for your great love and mercy that you have just showered upon us. And we thank you this morning that we can praise you and thank you and bless your holy name for all that you have done for us. Father, you have done exceedingly abundantly above all we ever hoped or asked or expected. And we want to be with this group throughout all eternity, praising you and thanking you, saying, to God be the glory, great things he have done. And so we just want to rest our souls in your perfect peace. We thank you for all that you've done for us, and we thank you that the best is yet to come. And we look forward to that day that we will be in that mansion in heaven, and we'll be with you throughout all eternity, praising you and worshiping you and seeing you do a miracle on this earth. And we look forward to that new heaven and the new earth. We just praise you and thank you this morning for all that we have in these spiritual blessings that you've given to us. And we thank you in the name that's above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.